Toys for Tots is something that happens every year around Christmas time, and of course, it's a very worthy thing to do, especially this year, as Gary Flanagan of G4 had mentioned. This has been a tough year on everyone, but it's especially hard on families with kids. Money's tight. It's hard to shop. Manufacturers are not shipping. So we got to do something to make Christmas brighter for the kids this year who have endured it just like we have, but in many cases not quite understanding why. So especially now, even if you can't attend the show, contact G4. Or contact The Room, and you can get more information at theroomvenue.com. And stop by, even if you can't stay or you're uncomfortable being in a crowd, drop off a toy for the kids. Make a cash donation. Do something to brighten the year, because Lord knows we need it.
God bless us, everyone. May I have another?
I'm trying to be serious. You always make me laugh. All right. It's Christmas time. I think kind of what we've been doing here is singing, but we're going to do a little caroling now.
All right.
With Blackmore's Night, our good friend Candace Knight of the group will be joining us momentarily. This is brand new Christmas music from Richie and Candace. Blackmore's Night, here we come, a caroling on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Lounges. Stay with us.
Here we come, a caroling. Seen love and joy come to you and to your world still too, and God bless you and send you a happy new year, and God send you a happy new year. We're not daily beggars who beg from door to door, but we are neighbor's children who you have seen before. Love and joy come to you and to your world still too, and send you a happy new year, and God send you a happy new
new music, Blackmore's Night. It's that time of the year again, and they are probably one of the preeminent bands that love Christmas. Candace Knight, Richie Blackmore, Blackmore's Night. They gave us some great music with the Winter Carols album a few years ago. Candace was gracious enough to join us then. We've talked with her a number of times with her solo children's stuff. We've talked to her about Rainbow. We've talked to her about all the different projects. And here we are back full circle with caroling music and Blackmore's Night's brand new vinyl. I've got the vinyl right in front of me. In fact, I'm carrying it at my record stores. So if you like what you're going to hear today, and I know you will, if you're in the Christmas spirit, stop and see me down at Tom Lounge's record bin, either Michigan City or Hobart, and we have a copy waiting for you. Four great songs. That kicks it off on side A. Candace, are you with us?
I'm right here, Tom. How are you?
Oh, I'm lovely now that I'm hearing your voice again. It's been a while.
Thank you. Yes, it's so good to talk to you again.
It's not Christmas unless we play some Blackmore's Night. It's become the new tradition both in my house and on my radio shows and in my store. It's like you've replaced Der Bingle.
Well, I love that. I love that we're able to bring you this amazing These amazing four new songs, of course, our rediscovery of some of these old songs and putting them through that Blackmoreizing machine again and rediscovering them and bringing new instrumentation to them and adding them with our arsenal of other Christmas songs and holiday songs. So at this point, I feel like we've got enough to last for a good amount of the season, at least. You just put the CDs in, and you can put them on repeat or on shuffle, and they can get you through a good couple of hours worth of decorating your Christmas tree.
Absolutely. And I like the fact you've kind of modernized it just a bit, because I never understood what wassailing was. Here we come a wassailing. What is wassailing? I don't even know what that means. But caroling, I know.
I mean, I know that the wassail is a very popular Christmas drink back in medieval times. So, but I guess they're going around the town and drinking. So, you know, can't be a bad thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, maybe now that I understand that, maybe we should go back to that. I don't know.
As long as they're not driving. Back
That's
in those
true.
Days, we didn't have the cars to worry about. So if you're going to drink and kind of walk around and carol, makes it all the more fun, right? Keeps you warm,
That's right. A lot of people know Richie, of course, from Rainbow and Deep Purple, but you guys have been doing this now for a number of years. I want to say you started in 96, 97, something like that, with Blackmoore's Night.
That's right. It's definitely over two decades at this point, about 23 years, I think.
A lot of people didn't understand when he said, I'm going to put away the electric and pick up mandolins and acoustics and all the different instruments of the olden days, the hurdy-gurdy. And here you are still all these years later doing it. Now, of course, we did touch last time that he got Rainbow going again. But what is it about the Renaissance sound, the folk sound of Europe, if you will, that really flipped his switch? How did you two decide this is what we're going to do at a time when nobody was doing anything like this?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because I always feel like going way back into Richie's career, I feel like the people who have followed Richie back from like 1968 or the early 70s, they would have heard definitely a medieval or Renaissance flavor in Richie's songs or his solos. Even going way back then when he was, you know, staunch rock and roll, he would still get on stage and he would still jam on Greensleeves, you know, or he would be playing, even with Ronnie Dio, he was playing 16th century Greensleeves or Temple of the King. So there was always these little flavors of medieval and Renaissance times. So, and that's way before that's why I say it's B.C. That was before Candace. So that's like way before, you know, my time. So he was definitely interested in into this style of music and this genre of music way before he even met me. He's the one who introduced me to Renaissance and medieval music in the first place. So, which I think a lot of people, I don't know if I hope a lot of people know that at this point, but I guess the people just discovering us now probably might be a little shocked to know that Richie introduced me to it instead of the other way around. But I was a Purple and a Rainbow fan before I got into the Renaissance stuff with Richie. And when I met him back in 1989, that's all he listened to around the house. So he would have before CD time, when he had his tapes, he'd be listening to Renaissance melodies from the Teutonic area or minstrel friends of his from Germany. And that's all he listened to. So that's how I originally got to know this music, is the beginning of our relationship. He was living in Connecticut. I would go up there to his English Tudor house in the woods of Connecticut with a minstrel's gallery and very dark wood. And it was a brand new, you know, phase of our relationship. We just really kind of met. And looking out the window, this was this amazing area in Connecticut where there was nothing around but woods for miles and miles. So seeing the seasons up there and just watching the snowfall from the window in this English Tudor house and listening to the Renaissance music, for me it all sounded like it was kind of the marriage of the audio and the visual of nature. It just all met perfectly. It resonated so well. It was the perfect marriage of sound and visual. So it just felt instantly at home, but almost like I've kind of walked through the veil of another time, and it felt so natural. You know, it's hard to explain the magic that you kind of you feel when you finally hear the soundtrack to nature. And so we would walk through the woods and just kind of listen to this music on our headsets or come back home and just have it playing around the house. And it was just a beautiful time, not only in our relationship, but watching the seasons and things. So it really just felt like this incredibly natural evolution. And ever since I heard that, I was kind of enamored by that style of music. So when he reformed Rainbow, I was sitting there with him as they were writing the songs and the other guys were doing their tracks. And they were recording in a farmhouse in Sturbridge, Massachusetts, Longview Farm. And again, you know, watching nature outside, nothing around for miles and miles, and he would be playing the acoustic guitar in front of a giant fireplace, and we would just play Renaissance music. The Renaissance music turned into the songs that you would hear reinterpreted through Blackmore's Night, which then ultimately wound up becoming the songs on Shadow of the Moon. So it was a really natural progression for us as far as musical was concerned.
Shadow of the Moon is such an amazing record. And listeners, if you have not heard any Blackmore's Night, make sure you at least sample Shadow of the Moon. Features two of my favorite musicians of all time. Our mutual friend Ian Anderson played on that. And of course, Richie is just the best of the best when it comes to guitar. And you, of course, fronting it all. That is my favorite Blackmore's Night record of all time. Is there a favorite that you have? Obviously, your records and your songs are like your children. I mean, you guys create them and you nurture them and you perform them. But is there one or two that just stands out as far as the albums? Let's introduce listeners to Blackmore's Night 101. Where should they start?
I was just going to say, you're asking me to choose my favorite child here, you know, or my favorite singer or something. You know,
Right.
can't live, you know, I need all of them to work. But especially playing the Shams, I need all my fingers. But yeah, it's very tricky. I feel like instead of albums, I feel like songs kind of resonate with me more. I love the craft of lyric writing. There's just something about delving into the musical instrumental bed that Richie provides and closing my eyes and channeling it and really kind of trying to visualize what it is that those pictures are being painted inside my head by the music and getting involved with that creative outlet of storytelling, but yet not making it so esoteric so people can't relate to it, trying to really have people deeply connect to it on an emotional level or try to see a reflection of themselves within the words, but still like completing a whole entire storyline and tying it to some of the legends or the myths of the different regions of places that we've seen. So for me, I love songs like Hanging Tree is one of my favorite ones. The Circle, I think, stands really... I absolutely love the way that The Circle came out. That's one of my favorite ones as far as singular songs is concerned, because I feel like it's so poignant, especially like in today... Well, it's every time period, but like when you look at it, even in today's age, how we should be learning from mistakes that we have made through the past, and somehow, you know, in humankind, we never seem to learn from our mistakes, and they always wind up kind of repeating ourselves, and the big question is, how many times are we going to repeat ourselves before something, some larger power just says, that's it, stop, you know, you're not learning, you know, so it's kind of an interesting story within a story there, so we can relate it to everything from nature to try to, like, you know, try to stop the pollution and try to, you know, not to ruin our planet, to trying to be nicer to each other as human beings, to, you know, we should really be learning about these things through the ages. And somehow we learn a lesson and then we forget the lesson and we have to be taught all over again.
Right.
People make the same mistakes. There's some Windmills is another one. Some of the ones that really don't get any attention are the ones that I feel like the storylines are crafted really well. And they're kind of like very... diehard fan favorites because they love the storylines, but because they might not be so commercially accepted, maybe they kind of get overlooked a little bit.
All Our Yesterdays, to my knowledge, is the last Blackmore's Night release, and that's been 6 years, 5 years?
It's been a while.
Any new product other than the Christmas coming forth anytime soon? I'm thinking you guys have been holed up, probably bouncing off the walls, and Richie being the creative guy he is, I'm imagining you guys are kind of woodshedding and creating things.
Well, we're always writing all the time, so we're lucky enough to be in this environment where we can, you know, he sits here and he's constantly playing all the time just to keep his fingers fluid, you know, and he's so creative. So believe it or not, when this whole COVID crazy pandemic crisis happened, we you know, we were all, of course, like everybody else in the whole world, stuck in the house, and we wound up just trying a live stream. Now, you know, we're not very technology savvy, so we tend to be more like, you know, medieval Renaissance times, so we'd rather unplug things than plug things in. But I actually got Richie to kind of sit with me, and I set it up on my little iPad, and we did this live stream. We just kind of took requests, and we were like singing and playing, and we actually wound up getting, within like an hour, we got a couple of million hits, and people
wow.
were really loving it because there was so much uncertainty, as there still is, so much uncertainty still going on. So we did that a couple of times for people. But as far as new product is concerned, we actually have, we're going to release a new album called Nature's Light. I'm really excited. I'm talking to you today, actually, because today we previewed a song of the new album, and our wonderful record company, Edel, we're back with them. We haven't been with them since 1997, and now we feel like we've come full circle and we're home again with them, of course. So it's nice to be back in their family again. And they're doing an amazing job. They make these incredible lyric videos. And so they released today a song called Once Upon December, and that's actually going to be on our album of Nature's Light coming out in March, but they did a lyric video for it so everybody can check it out, see it on our official YouTube station. And they can, I believe they can download it today as well. So they released it as a preview for the album that's coming up in March.
Okay. Now, how long ago did you start recording that? You guys have a recording studio at home, I'm assuming.
Well, we have a recording studio, but we just don't know how to use it. So I don't know how useful that is. But Richie always said he wanted to be the only musician in the world who didn't have a studio in his house. So when we moved back here to Long Island, in 1994, the whole bottom area of our house, the basement area, he converted into this medieval dungeon bar area. Mm-hmm. I guess it was the original man cave for him. But if I tell you stone walls, medieval torture devices, you know, hanging on the walls and stuff, very low lit candles all over, and it really looks like a medieval bar from like Prague or something, you know, in the Czech Republic. It's like under, you know, underground.
It's like something the Three Musketeers would hang out in, huh?
It's something that's very Richie Blackmore. You know? This is also the reason my children will never have any fear, I think, because, you know, the house is just set up to be, you know, medieval torture devices all over the place. They're used
right.
to it. You know, why not?
Wow.
Like every day is Halloween. So, so we had that all set up downstairs. And then we realized that having to fly our producer out every time we wanted to create an album, you know, got a little bit expensive having to clock in and out of a studio. And really, creativity is more conducive when you're, you know, in your own sanctuary and creating at home.
Right.
So we delegated one little section off of the dungeon bar. We still have the big area for the dungeon bar, but one little area where our producer comes out from L.A. His name is Pat Regan, and he took all of his equipment and he kind of set it up in that area. So about once a year, when we're ready to record, he comes out and we kind of hole up in that little area and we record all of our tracks down there, and then we leave him to do his magic, and then when he's ready for the next part, we go back down there again, and it's great. We get to fly him back home to L.A. when he's all done and wind up with these amazing songs. So we're writing all of the time. But, you know, we actually had just finished this album with him before COVID started. We thought we were going to release this in, like, May of last year, or actually this year. God, I'm losing track of time. COVID has eaten my, you know, my brain.
Cause right.
It's like,
what
I, you know,
day is it?
Complete track of time here. But, so we were ready to release it, and then, you know, the pandemic hit, and then everything was shut down, and then the record companies couldn't make physical product, and then so all of this craziness happened, so everything kind of got put on hold. So at least we're able to have it, put out the Christmas songs properly so people can enjoy it for the season, and
right.
and people might have to wait just a little bit longer for this, for Nature's Light to come out, but I think it's worth the wait.
Now, this album, I'm thrilled to see vinyl. I have two vinyl stores since we last talked, and vinyl is so in right now. The young kids, the older folks, they're all coming in. Vinyl is bonding families again. I'm so thrilled to see that. We've got grandmothers and grandchildren. We've got parents and children, and they're all coming in and they're all turning each other on to different musics. It's so unique, and I'm so happy that we have a new Christmas album on vinyl. Are you going to
yeah.
be reissuing any of the other Blackmore's Night product, either Shadow of the Moon, Ghost of a Rose, any of the older stuff?
Yeah, actually, I think they're working on doing something exactly like that, where they want everybody to kind of rediscover the songs that we've done. But, you know, Nature's Light is also another one that we're putting out on vinyl.
Mm,
so whereas the Christmas songs are going to be out on this beautiful Christmas green, Christmas tree green vinyl.
I've got it in front of me.
Right? You got it in your hand,
yes.
Right? Too bad this isn't a visual, like a video, like some sort of Zoom interview. We can hold it up and show everyone. It's really pretty.
Pretty so red label and green vinyl. I love
there
it.
There you go. Exactly. Very Christmassy. But now Nature's Light's going to be on a like a brilliant sun yellow, like a golden yellow vinyl. So that'll be out there too. And yeah, we're definitely planning on rediscovering and reissuing a lot of the older albums so people can rediscover them on vinyl. And I still believe that vinyl has that warmth to it, that sound. I know everybody at a point was, you know, so gung-ho on digital, but for me, there's something about just here, feeling the vinyl in your hand, being able to hold that record and just place it on and put that needle on. And as a DJ, do you still feel that? Like, you've been a DJ for a while.
Yeah.
I love that feeling.
Right? I love it. I do a show that's all vinyl elsewhere, and it's because I have a passion for it, and it's like just to play everything. Dropping the needle into the groove is there's something special about that. Even the little pops or clicks that you get, it's that natural warmth that's organic, and especially with this kind of music. You need to have that warmth. If it's an electronica band, well, maybe digital's the best way. But for what Blackmore's Night does, to actually hear the nuances of all these amazing instruments working together and layering together, is just something that doesn't come through on CD.
Yes, I agree. It has that warmth to it, that bottom end to it. And like you said, putting that needle on, just finding that sweet spot, right, where it just... there's just something about it that you kind of miss just by pressing a button. I feel like we're kind of getting a little bit two steps away from you know, anything that you could basically put your hands on and feel that. There's something about being tactile, you know, the way that things feel that it's just so important. It kind of grounds you and brings you back to that you know, beginning point. And, you know, being a child of born in 1971, that's, you know, where I started on those records. And there's just something bringing you way back to that time where... you kind of have a flashback and get back into that comfort zone of growing up, really. And I love how you thought about, like, you were talking about it bringing families together, because really that's what Blackmore's Night wants to do as well. You know, we want the little kids to be singing along to it, because a lot of our songs that are very chorus-friendly, like Under Violet Moon or, you know, Renaissance Fair, there's so many songs that we have where the kids just love to sing along to it. But like we always say, the dads usually love listening to Richie and his incredible wizardry, whether it's on acoustic guitar or mandola, mandolin, hurdy-gurdy, electric guitar. It just goes on and on with him. And the women love the tone of the female voice. And then the grandparents just love, you know, simple melody.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that, you know, that they can kind of really sit down and hum along with it, and simple things to just remember. And so for us, it's always been family-based, family-oriented shows. Where we look out to the audience and we see all different age groups, all age ranges, and people from all different walks of life. And it's so nice not having one specific demographic, just looking out and seeing all these different kind of people. And the only thing that they probably have in common is, you know, that they're independent thinkers, they're loving the music, that they're enjoying the musicality and the energy from it. And just watching them walk out with a big smile on their face and the positivity from the energy of the music, it's just a gift into itself. So...
And the music notwithstanding, the show is almost theater. You have the realistic costumes and the approach and the style. I mean, you feel like you're back in a time warp, perhaps. You guys do it so well. The presentation of the stage. I mean, you've got Holly and you've got all the different instrumentations that are authentic, and you've got the costuming. You take us back, and especially for kids that have grown up, you know, in the Disney princess world, to see you up there performing is pretty mind blowing. It really is.
We love it. Yeah. Well, there's something about, I mean, I can't imagine just, you know, putting on jeans and going on stage, or like a baseball hat and going on stage. Like, for us, but half of the idea of the show and getting ready and preparing for the show is putting on your bell sleeves and your corset, or, you know, maybe for the guys, the leggings, and lacing up those boots and really kind of becoming the part. And it's not, you know, it's not that you're faking it. It's just a different part of you. You know, it's that fantasy of you that you want to become. What do you want to present to the world if you could choose any sort of, you know, fantasy?
Right.
And also looking out to the audience and seeing, it's almost like a costume party when we come to town. So
right.
Looking out and seeing kings and queens and princesses and fairies and warriors and monks, I mean, jesters, we've seen it all at this point. And just being able to look out and see people dress up and be part, I mean, I guess when it used to be, you know, when people used to go to Broadway and they'd really dress up to the nines because they knew that they were going to an event and it was amazing. And now you look at it, and it kind of brings you back to that, where you feel like you're going someplace special. So you dress up, and you come, and you become part of this whole entire show.
Right.
And for us, being up there singing and playing to people, there's it doesn't ever feel like there's a barrier. When we look out and see everybody dressed up, we feel like we're all of the same mindset. So we always say it's not like there's a separation. It's not like they're fans. It's like we know that they get us to the point where they're just like friends that we haven't really met yet, because we're all so connected, and it's just like this incredible, incredible connection.
It looks,
and it's all done through the music. We put it out there; they like absorb it, enjoy it, bring it back the energy to us, and we absorb that energy. And it's just again going back to that circle. So it's just an amazing gift.
It's like an Eastern European village gathering.
Yeah.
When you look at the audience, I saw you guys at House of Blues many years back, because you just don't tour here enough, even in non-COVID times. You just don't come here enough, and we have to do something about that. But I did see you, it was like it was I didn't dress up because I didn't know that was expected. So my friend and I were there, and we were like in fifth or sixth row, and we're surrounded by all these people in character. And it was like, wow, I'm waiting for like the pitchforks and torches to come out because we didn't dress up. You know, it was a wonderful experience. And
We do have a lot of people go through costume envy when they leave the show and they forgot to dress up or they didn't know about it. And then they go, next time I'm going to be part of this whole thing, because it really takes it to a whole other level.
It does.
You know, and if you know what else is really cool is because when people dress up, they look around and see other people and they start these conversations, and before you know it, they become friends with the whole audience. It's amazing how deeply they connect to each other. So then it becomes like a reunion. Every time we play, we always joke, we're like, I don't even think they care if we show up or not, because they're just so happy to see their friends. Like their it's almost like family members, you know?
Right.
They take vacations whenever we're supposed to tour, and then they just like leave from... We've seen people leave from Japan or from Australia, from South Africa, and they just come and they stay at their friends in Germany, all their houses that they met when they were on tour with us. And then all of those people go and they stay in England when we play in England. And so it becomes like this whole community. It's like this family thing. And actually, a lot of the stuff on the stage, there's so much thought that goes into the stage set. Richie actually goes out there before any of the shows happen, when we go out there for sound check, and he's out there hands-on rearranging things. This bed of flowers have to go there, and he's like moving barrels around and plants around. So he's always out there dragging things back and forth. Has to, you know, this barrel has to be centered. And
that's a side of Richie I would not have expected. I'd love to see that pre-show preparations.
He is on top of everything, believe me.
Wow.
before he picks up any of the guitars, he's rearranging leaves and just like the whole stage.
Wow. Listeners, we are talking to Candace Knight of Blackmore's Night. You can keep up with them and all things Blackmore's Night at blackmoresnight.com. And the new EP is Here We Come, A Caroling, and it just out within the last couple of days. I just got our copies at the store last week, and we're going to play another cut from it. This is track 2, side A of the vinyl, because I love saying that, of the vinyl. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. We'll be back with Candace. We'll talk Christmas things after this on Lakeshore Public Radio.
Came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill toward men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Come swiftly on the wing. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. when peace shall overrule the earth, its ancient splendors flee, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing. Which now the angels sing.
It came upon a midnight clear, Blackmore's Night, and that's off the new Here We Come a Caroling EP, on vinyl, and I'm assuming on CD, is that correct, Candace?
Yes, that's right. Yes, we got physical products on CD for those who are in the digital age. We've also got streaming. They can download it on iTunes, on Amazon, everywhere you get your any of your music. It's on Spotify. We just heard it on Pandora the other day, actually, so it's everywhere.
Wow. Now, last time we spoke, when we were talking about Christmas, I think it was two Christmases ago, you were telling us about how you guys would open up the house to the neighborhood kids, and it would be like this big gala, because Christmas was so important to both you and Richie. And now that your kids are getting older, and obviously we can't do that kind of party this year. But how are you dealing with COVID and Christmas? Because you guys are very community based.
Yeah, it's really tricky. As a matter of fact, not only do we usually open our house up to everyone, but we always have a fan party too. I don't know if I mentioned that last time. We usually have an invitation only fan party for the street team members, the ones who spend all year basically spreading the magic of the music, you know, and the word of Blackmore's Night, and they do everything from handing out flyers to doing social media for us, and they're just so dedicated to the band worldwide. They're amazing. So every year we have this little get-together. Usually we take over the back of a haunted restaurant or so. If it's not haunted, we'll bring our own ghosts and make it haunted, and or own spirits. And we ask all these people to come, and they come from all over the. We've had people just fly in from Glasgow, from Scotland, from England. They're just waiting to see every year if we're going to have one of these get-togethers. And then they fly on over, and we spend the night playing very, very intimate acoustic gathering, and scale it way down. We all just kind of sit on stools with all the acoustic instruments and play for them. And usually we collect money for a local charity, whether it's Save a Pet or Little Shelter, things out here, so we can try to, you know, get some of these animal charities through the season. Difficult time. It's always difficult for the animal charities, so all year round we try to do something.
Right.
But, so that's always important for us to do, too. So we kind of feel very let down, not only that we don't get to see our fans, you know, on these special one night a year that we do that for them, but, of course, our holiday party in our house has to be tapered way down. It's just going to be, I think, just family at this point. It's hard. That's hard. But honestly, we're pretty lucky with the fact that our kids, at the age now of 8 and 10, they're at the point where they're just so excited to be decorating the house. They've just made a whole bunch of paper chains that they're hanging up. They're looking for the elf from Elf on the Shelf, which apparently the two elves that we had a baby this year, so they're looking for them.
Okay.
So there's all kinds of interesting stuff that's always going on in the Blackmore family household. You know, and they're just so enamored by the Christmas trees being lit up, and how beautiful the rainbow lights. We're not real like white light kind of people. A lot
right.
of people have that. You know, we are all every different color of the rainbow is always like lit up here. And Richie does an incredible job single-handedly decorating our house, Minstrel Hall. We've got Christmas trees. I'm looking around. We've got Christmas trees everywhere. We've got that gold tinsel glitter garland everywhere, and old-fashioned. Paper red, those red bells that are like paper honeycomb bells that he hangs from everywhere. And we have a fireplace, and we just sit around now with the kids, and we'll just break out the acoustic instruments, and they love singing the songs. They're singing them all the time. So so I guess we have to just kind of scale it down and count our blessings, and just, I mean, it doesn't take away from the magic of the season. It might actually make it a little bit more special, because you kind of you know, focus more on really what's the most important thing to you. I feel badly for the people. I feel like we're very blessed in our household. The worst I feel is that, you know, that we can't open our households at this point to people who don't have families for the season, because that's what we usually do.
Right.
But I'm sure we'll do something for them. We'll be able to, like, you know, we'll bake cookies or we'll bring something, some sort of joy. Maybe we'll leave some vinyl for them.
There you go.
We'll be able to do something, I'm sure.
Instead of mistletoe, you'll have little records hanging everywhere.
Perfect. That's a perfect idea.
Is either Autumn or Rory showing musical tendencies? Are they going to be your little elves in the shows as well? Are we going to see them incorporated?
Let me tell you something. Autumn is playing, she plays guitar, piano, and cello. Her preference is cello at this point. This girl has a 4-octave range. Her voice is unbelievable. She actually does background vocals with me on Silent Night. And she's doing, like, the really, really high. She's hitting the notes I can't hit, like those really, really high notes. She's amazing. She wakes up in the morning and just breaks into song constantly. And she's got daddy's improv skills, which blows my mind. Because she can start singing about anything, like, you name it, she's all over it. And beautiful, beautiful tone. I asked her if there's any way I can open for her one day. You know, that would be really nice. She just keep me in mind, put me on the list. She actually just tried out in her chorus to do the solo for Where Are You Christmas. So I think she's heading in that direction. It looks pretty good for her to get that part. And A Million Dreams, she tried out for both of those songs. But she's singing all the time. As a matter of fact, like, we were going through the drive-thru at McDonald's the other day, and she's in the back of the car, and there was a lot of, cars online, and she's just looking at me in the little rear-view mirror, and I'm like, I'm sorry it's taken so long, sweetie, and she's like, why does it always take so long to get my chicken McNuggets? Like, she's just breaking into song. So our lives are basically a musical, where, like, in a musical, it's totally normal to just break into song and dance. That's pretty much how we live, like that. We just break into song and dance for absolutely no reason, constantly throughout the day.
Well,
And Rory's a drummer. He is full. He can sing. He chooses not to, or to do it sparingly. But he's full on out rhythmic, like, amazing. He can do these rhythms that just would blow your mind. So he took a couple of drum lessons just for fun with John Marcelli, who used to play with Rainbow and played with Meatloaf and Brian May and good friend of the family. And when he was like 5, and John was like, this kid is incredible. So he just feels. He feels rhythm. We definitely have. I mean, you can't escape it. It's in the Blackmore blood. There's no way out. So it's amazing to just watch them blossom, though.
I remember when we had you on. We were talking about Starlight Starbright. Didn't Autumn do a vocal on there, like a little commentary or something at one of the songs?
Yes, at the beginning she did a commentary, but she also wrote. At that point, she had written a song that she wrote it when she was 1.5. Where I was doing laundry upstairs in the hallway, and she was sitting in a rocking chair rocking her doll to sleep, and she made up a song called Lullaby in the Night. And I just happened to have my camera there, and I videotaped her around the corner, like around the bend of her singing this beautiful song to her doll, to put the doll to sleep. And when our producer came out, I played it for him, and so I just sang her melody line and the words that she had come up with. And she's credited on there, so she gets all, she gets the royalties and she gets all the credit, the writer's credit on there. But also when we actually did a video for it, because it's such a beautiful song, and she thinks in a way that I wouldn't think. She's constantly writing songs, but it's my path is it's so inspired differently than hers. She comes up with these totally different ideas, so it's always mind-blowing how she does this. But so when we actually recorded the videos, we recorded for that album. We did Once in a Garden, and then we did Lullaby in the Night. Rory and Autumn both were in Once in a Garden, and which is great because as a mom, I get to look back and see them at the ages of 5 and 3, kind of toddling around, But she was an actress, like, very on point in Lullaby in the Night, where they asked her to do things, and we said, do you think you can do it? Because if you can't, that's okay. We can get an actress. And she's like, no, I got this. I can do it. And so the director in Germany had told her to do a certain thing, which is he's like, okay, look out the window, pretend you see the fairy out the window, and you have to really kind of be, questioning, about, did you really see that or not? Is it a fantasy? So she's listening to him and taking it all in. And as soon as he finished, he's like, you ready? And she's like, yes. But then she's still staring at him. So we're like, oh, maybe she doesn't get it. Maybe she's nervous.
Is she waiting for her cue?
That's exactly. She goes, he goes, are you okay? And she goes, yeah, I'm waiting for you to say action. So he's like, oh, okay. As soon as she said action, she was right in there, right in the moment. And,
That's funny.
She killed it. It was great. So those two videos are always fun to watch.
Well, let's go back to the new EP and play Silent Night, which features Autumn on this. And you said she's doing all the high vocal parts?
Oh, she's way up there. Yes, absolutely.
All right. This is it. This is on the new album. You can pick it up anywhere and everywhere, CD, vinyl, and digital. We'll be back with Candace Knight on the other side.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, run young virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild.
Night, Silent Night, off the new album, new EP, Here We Come A-Caroling. And what a pretty song, what pretty voices there. Mom and daughter teaming up and dad playing the strings there. It's a family affair, as Sly Stone might say. Good stuff. And don't forget, Winter Carols is also out there. If you check out blackmoorsnight.com, you'll be able to find that as well. Came out a few years back, 12 songs, more Christmas carols of this tradition. But this is the new one, and this is the one we want to make sure you know about. Winter Carols is great, and this is the companion piece, I guess you'll say. Candace Knight is my guest, and we know that there's a new Blackmoor's Night album, Nature's Light, coming forth in 2021, I'm assuming. Candace, what about yourself? Your last album was the children's album, Starlight, 15. And then you had a solo album prior to that about 5 years earlier. Are you doing any kind of solo projects at all apart from Richie?
I am. Actually, I'm about 5 songs into another solo album. So
okay.
I've got a bunch of them written, just waiting. It's kind of just hard to get into that studio at this point with the studio time with all this craziness going on. But there's a lot of tracks that I've written. I've recorded 5 of them already. So I'm probably halfway through, I would say, a brand new album. So I'm contracted with Edel to do it. So as soon as it comes out, I'll be able to get that out for you guys. So hopefully later on this year. I don't want to conflict, you know, anything that's going on with Nature's Light. So I would say it would probably be more at the end of the 2021.
Okay.
The beginning.
And if the numbers come down, are you guys ready to get out on the road and tour again?
Yeah, we were actually ready. We were ready to go out this last time. We had a whole like Northeast tour of America. I know you were saying you wanted us to play more here, and we had that all ready to go. And of course, you know, everything's been put on hold. But
well, put us back, you know, on the track, on the schedule, okay? Start here.
Yeah, we actually have. We're hoping they're scheduling us, and because now everybody's kind of doing this mad dash to, because everybody's so backlogged all everything's been canceled, so now everybody wants to get into these venues at the same exact time and get their stuff in, you know, and perform for everyone, of course. But I think right now they have a schedule for spring 2021, so I'm just waiting. Everybody's like on hold. It's crazy. I feel like we're living in some kind of bad sci-fi movie.
Exactly. I feel the same. My wife and I were just talking about that. We went out yesterday, and I said, I can't handle this facelessness. Everybody's got masks. You just see eyes. It's like,
yes.
It's surreal. You can't tell who anyone is.
Like a Twilight Zone episode or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what it feels like. All you're missing is Rod Serling.
Yes, exactly. I wanted to hear like his voiceover as we're walking down the street or something. And how many times do you like just go to jump out and go in a store and you forget your mask and you have to walk all the way back to the car? Meanwhile, my children are in school. They're going 5 days a week in school, but they're wearing the masks the whole entire time.
Wow.
Imagine having to do that all day in school. I don't know. I know kids are resilient, but as soon as they, you know, I pick them up from school and I'm just like, take that mask off so you can breathe some fresh air again.
Right. Right. Wow.
But the good thing is I'm always talking, you know me, I'm always talking about getting back to nature and feeling the grass under your feet, and feeling the wind in your hair. So we've actually, throughout this pandemic, we've discovered that what we love to do, we have this new hobby, is we go out onto the beach because, you know, we're on the island, we're on Long Island,
mm-hmm.
and we just kind of walk the beach and we look for sea glass. Like, beach glass is our new favorite, like, happy place. So, you know, you get to just feel that, like we said, feel the wind in your hair. I'm listening to the ocean sounds, watching the waves come up, and there's just something so beautiful about just sitting out there and kind of looking for these little glistening emeralds in the sand that actually wind up just being, you know.
Do you make jewelry out of it?
You know what? I haven't yet. I've been looking at ways to create art. We actually made some art in a frame that was like very mermaid kind of based with seashells and some of it looked. We put all the sand glass on there, the sea glass on there, it kind of just looks like these amazing waves of different colors, and it's all kind of beaten down and very soft to the touch, and it's beautiful. So that's kind of like a new way to be creative for us. We're just loving doing that.
Okay. I don't really want to dwell on it, but I do want to, I know we got fans out there that will want to know, is Richie pursuing more with Rainbow since the live group or live concert happened and the live recordings came out? Are they going to be doing anything studio-wise?
You know, I know that they have, it's kind of hard because he's got people all over the place. You know, the singer's in Spain and the keyboard player is in Sweden and the bass players, that like the other two musicians are in Connecticut. So, you know, trying to get everybody together. Richie's very old school. He likes to get into a room, start jamming, and everybody gets to, you know, kind of create spur of the moment. So
right.
Having people kind of piecemeal, you know, send things over digitally is out of his world, you know. So it's like really kind of hard for him to wrap his brain around that or to really kind of get that energy, like that vibe from a live performance in a room. So it's a little tricky to write, I think, like that. He does talk about like coming up with different ideas for new songs, and I know he's getting inspired from many different ways. He actually surfs YouTube, believe it or not. Which is interesting to see him on a tablet. he doesn't even have a cell phone, you know, so it's funny to see him. Somebody bought, one of his friends bought him a tablet, and all he does is kind of like look up stuff on YouTube, and whether it's songs from the 60s or old friends of his that he's played with, you know, it's always music-based. So I know he's getting inspired by a lot of stuff like that. And I know that he was still interested in going out and performing again with the guys from Rainbow. So again, it's all kind of put on hold. I do know that they actually recorded he had performed at this amazing festival in Spain last year. Was it last year? The last time he played with Rainbow out there, and we did this incredible festival. I feel like there was like 50,000 people there. It was huge. It was Rock the Coast.
Okay.
And so I know that they taped that, and he has that video recorded. So I'd imagine that would probably be...
So there's hope. There's hope is what you're saying.
There's always hope. I'm a very optimistic person. So somebody's got to balance out that, you know, Richie's pessimism, which he says is realism. So we get into that argument a lot. But so we kind of balance each other out. But I'm always seeing lots of musical opportunities for him out there. I'm trying to get him to write a book, actually.
That would be amazing.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, the stories he could tell.
Oh, my gosh. He tells me stories about... I mean, and people, like, you know, he was telling me about how he was in the whiskey years ago, and Chicago was the band that was on stage there in the Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A. And he said he was sitting there, and all of a sudden this guy gets up and starts heckling Chicago, that he didn't like the band, and he got lifted up and escorted out, physically, like, escorted out, and it wound up being Jim Morrison.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine?
Those are great stories. He's got to put them down. He's got to put them down.
Even a five-second story like that blows my mind. You know, like, it's,
yeah.
It's just amazing. So, yeah, we've got to get him to do that.
All right. Well, we'll keep up with Richie and you at blackmoorsnight.com. Of course, there's also candicenight.com for Candace's projects and amazing things that you do. I wish you a Merry Christmas.
And to you as well, my friend. It was great talking to you, as always.
I would love to reconnect with you, talk animal stuff. As you know, I do all the rescue stuff out here with the Humane Society. You and Richie have been very kind to us over the years. And as you said, we're all suffering. All the animals are suffering more than usual because of the lack of fundraising. So we are working on some new things, some new auction things, and perhaps we can talk soon.
That sounds excellent. I'm actually sitting here. We have a rescue kitty now. It's actually 1 year since we got this little guy. We called him Winter Blackmore. So we have Winter sitting here right now with us. And he was abandoned in a parking lot, and everybody else in his family was adopted out, and he was the last one left. So I said, "Oh, we can't have that."
No.
So he's home with us, and he's comfy sitting on the couch here with
us. He's home for the holiday.
Yes, we are always up for helping the animals, and you know, actually anybody who really needs the help, especially this time of year. So we're here for you, Tom, whatever you need us to do.
All right. Thank you, dear. Let's close with the last song of the EP. It's actually the third song. First side, side B, first song. This is A Little Town of Bethlehem. Once again, Blackmoor's Night, the new record that's out now. Here we come, a caroling. My guest has been the amazing Candace Knight, and blackmoorsnight.com is where you'll find her.
Yet in thy dark street shineth his everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For he is born. Sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth.